Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 47. Genesis, chapter 47. We'll look at just two verses in the outset of the message this morning, Genesis, chapter 47. The title of the message today will be Few and Evil Have Been the Days of My Life. Few and evil have been the days of my life. Those are the words of Jacob as he met Pharaoh for the first time. If you're with me in Genesis 47 and verse 8, would you please say amen? Okay, and Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? Of course, Jacob, you know, was Joseph's father. And so Joseph now has the privilege of introducing his father to Pharaoh, and one of the first things that Pharaoh says is, How old are you? Notice Jacob's answer. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimages. Interesting answer. Would you bow with me, please, for prayer? Father, as we look at the answer of Jacob this morning, I pray that you'll show us truths of Scripture that apply to every man in this room, every boy in this room, every girl in this room, actually every person in this room. I pray that you will teach us to honor our Father this day and our Father and our Mother. Father, help us to see the reward that comes in honoring you and in honoring our parents. And then help us to see, Lord, the curse, if you will, that goes along with those who disrespect and dishonor their dads and moms. I pray that you'll help us to see this vividly and clearly in the life of Jacob this day. And we'll give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you the background briefly. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery by his 10 brothers. Remember, they hated him. He kept having these dreams, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars and the 11 sheaves of wheat. And he kept telling them and insinuating that one day I will rule over you, my brothers. And even in one case, I'll not only rule over you, my brothers, but my dad and mom too. God has big plans for me. And they hated him because he was a dreamer. So to get rid of him, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. They pretended he had been killed by a wild beast. They took his clothes, shredded them up as though they had been torn by cloth, soaked them in the blood of a lamb, took them back to poor old Jacob, and said, Jacob, here's Joseph's coat of many colors. Joseph was evidently eaten by a beast. There's no body remaining. Here's his coat. It's all that was left. And of course, Jacob mourned and mourned and mourned over the loss of his son, Joseph. And of course, we know it was 22 years later before he learned that the whole thing was a hoax. But Joseph was 17 years old when that event took place. He was sold into slavery. He was 30 years old before he stood before Pharaoh and was promoted to be second in command of all of Egypt. And then we find, as we follow the course of history, 7 good years came and went. And then Egypt was in the second year of a worldwide famine when Joseph saw his brethren. Again, that's Genesis 45 and verse 6. Jacob had sent his 10 sons to Egypt to buy corn. They had a famine too in Palestine. And Joseph, when he saw his 10 brothers, remembered the dreams. That's Genesis 42 and verse 9. Joseph later revealed himself to his brethren and sent for his aged father Jacob, and after 22 years of being separated, they're reunited in Genesis 45 and verse 13. And so now we see Joseph introducing his father to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the man who is the only one above him in power in all of Egypt. And he introduces him. What a privilege that must be for Joseph to introduce his father to the man, the only man who is now his boss. And Pharaoh asks this question, How old are you? And Jacob says, Well, I'm 130 years old. Few and evil have been the days of my life. Few and evil. What did he mean by that? Well, Abraham lived to be 175. Here he's 130. Isaac lived to be 180. And here he's 130. Few refers to the quantity as compared to life expectancy. If you expected your life to be 175 or 180 years old and you were 130 and nearing death, you would say, few have been my days. My expectancy, I have not lived up to the expectancy as far as what everyone thinks I should live up to. And evil refers to the quality as compared to the blessing that he could have had. In other words, he's saying, things could have gone a lot better than they did. And I'm going to show you in a moment that Jacob lived a miserable life. Now, God blessed him in many ways, and I'll show you that this evening. But this morning, I'm going to focus on the things that went wrong and show you where they came from. So, before we do that, I want to contrast this story with Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. If you have the time and can turn there quickly, you can. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, but I'm going to begin to read while you're turning. The Apostle Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, he gives one motivation for obedience. You know why Paul says you need to obey? Because it's the right thing to do. That's simply it. There's only one reason to obey, not because it pays you to obey. Paul says, no, this is just right. That's all there is to it. Obedience is right. But then he says, honor thy father and mother. And then in parentheses, and this is a quotation from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? There's two rewards that are promised here, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I want you to see that obedience and honor are not the same thing here. Obedience, we see the motivation to obey is simply that it's right, but the motivation to honor is a twofold promise, and that is that it'll be well with you. There's the quality of life, and that it'll be long. That's the quantity of life. In other words, you'll live longer and you'll live better if you honor your father and your mother. But what most people don't stop to realize is that the converse of that is also true. If one dishonors his father, then it will not be well, and he will not live long. Life will become a series of unfortunate events. For that man who dishonors his father, a series of unfortunate circumstances will be his lot. And then his end will be an untimely fashion, perhaps even a violent death. Not just untimely. By his own testimony here, Jacob admitted to a life that was few in days and evil in quality. He's showing us that not only am I 35 to 40 years, by the way, he died at 147. So when he died, he was 28 years younger than his grandfather died, and he was 33 years younger than his father died. So he lost 28 years compared to his father and 33 years compared to his grandfather. I think it was the other way around. 33 compared to his father and 28 compared to his grandfather. But his life was shortened by that span as compared to his parents because of one thing. Because he dishonored his father. Now I want to ask you, do you remember where the trouble began? I want you to back up, if you would, to chapter 25, and we're going to not look at all of these verses, but I want to show you just a bit of where the trouble began. Genesis chapter 25. Well, we see in chapter 25 that Jacob and Esau were twins. Jacob was the youngest. Esau was the oldest. And the Lord prophesied to Rebekah while she was pregnant with these children that there's something unusual about this. Not only do you have twins, but you're going to have an unusual circumstance. The older is going to serve the younger. The younger of the two boys is going to be the more powerful in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. And the elder boy will serve the younger boy, and that's backwards according to nature. But Isaac, not realizing that, I don't think, favored Esau. You see that in chapter 25 and verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, why did Rebekah love Jacob? Well, Jacob was more of an indoors man. He was called a plainsman. He was not ruddy of complexion. He wasn't a hairy guy. He was kind of a plain-skinned guy. He loved to cook. He loved to do dishes. He loved to vacuum the floor. He loved to do the inside work. He was great at doing laundry. And Esau said, Isaac said, there's something wrong with that boy. But Esau now, he loves to bait a hook. He loves to skin a squirrel. He loves to skin a rabbit. He can shoot a deer with an arrow at 100 yards. I mean, this guy's he's a man after my own heart, and I love to eat his deer venison. Yeah. And so he loved his son. He favored his son. But in chapter 25, verses 29 through 34, we see that there were some problems with Esau. Though he was the oldest of the two twins, and though he was favored by his father, he was weak of character. Verse 29, Jacob sawed pottage, that is, he cooked soup. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. It probably was chilly. For I'm faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, which means red. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. I'm not just going to give you a bowl of soup for nothing. You give me your birthright, I'll give you a bowl of soup. And Esau said, now listen to this. Behold, I'm at the point to die. You ever said, man, I'm so hungry I could die. Did you ever die? You know, I heard a guy say one time, he said, my belly thinks my throat's been cut. Really? If I don't get something to eat soon, I'm going to die. Really? How many of you are still sitting here? You know, the old flesh is powerful, but it's a deceiver. I'm going to tell you, you get a good deal sicker than you are right now and a good deal hungrier than you are right now and still not die. And here Esau thinks he's going to die. He said, oh, what good is my birthright going to do me? I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do me? Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swearing to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. It could have said Esau despised the things of God. Could have said that. Didn't say it, but it could have said it. I want you to understand where the trouble started for Jacob. Now that was the birthright. Then we come a little farther in the way, chapter 27, and we see that Isaac's getting old. And he calls in Esau, chapter 27, verse 1. He called his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said, here am I. Or he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, shoot a deer, and make me savory meat, as I love. Bring it to me that that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. By the way, he lived several more years after that too. Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. Esau goes off to the field, and then she calls Jacob in. Look at verse 6. Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison, make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats. I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said unto Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. His mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were in the house, which were with her in the house, put them upon Jacob, her younger son. She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and bread, which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I.
Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Is that a lie or the truth? It's a lie. Jacob saying, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. There's a second lie. First of all, he lied about his identity. Second of all, he lied about how quickly it happened. Third of all, he lied about obeying his father. It wasn't even deer meat. It was goat meat. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto his father, and he felt him, and he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, now look at this. He asks him a second time just to make sure. Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come now near and kiss me, my son. Here is something is just about as bad as Judas' kiss on the cheek of Jesus. Jacob kissing his father, pretending to be Esau. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, now here's the blessing. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Jacob took the blessing and left. You remember the story. Soon after Jacob was gone, Esau came in. Here I am, Dad. Here's the venison stew that you love. What? What? Who are you? Who was here just before you? Oh, I've already given your blessing to another. Oh, it must have been that Jacob, that supplanter, that cheater. He came and disguised himself. And Esau was so angry, he said, I will kill him. I don't know if you realize it, but Jacob's life took a southbound bend at this point. I counted at least 20 lines in the story of Jacob of things that went badly for him. You know, when he said, I shall bring a curse upon myself, he didn't realize how truly he spoke. Do you understand if you dishonor your father, and how would you dishonor him more than to lie to his face? He lied to his face twice. I'm Esau. I'm him. I'm Esau. I'm the one. He kissed him on the cheek as Esau. He wore Esau's clothes. He pretended to have prepared stew that Esau was supposed to bring. How much more could you dishonor a poor old blind father than to lie directly to his poor old blind eyes? What dishonor? What deceit? And remember the Lord's promise, honor your father and mother, that it may go be well with thee, and that your days may be long upon the earth. Remember the converse of that. If you don't honor your father and mother, you'll die young and things will not go well. And we see that this is exactly what happened in the life of Jacob. Not only did he lose at least 28 and maybe 33 years of his life, but we find out that things did not go well. Look at this. As we think about this, his life was just evil in quality. It was a series of unfortunate events. Esau hated Jacob and threatened to slay him. Chapter 27, verse 41. So in chapter 28 and verse 5, we find that Jacob fled Canaan and took refuge in Haran or Padan Aram, where his uncle Laban lived. Chapter 28 and verse 5. Jacob agreed to serve Laban 7 years for Rachel. Remember, he got there and he met she would have really been like a second cousin. And he met her and she was beautiful and he loved her. And he asked Laban, can I have Rachel's hand in marriage? Why, of course you can. I'll serve you 7 years for her. Okay, very good. And remember, the scripture tells us that those 7 years seemed like but just a short time because he loved Rachel so much. And he worked like a dog, and he served Laban faithfully, and the 7 years came, and it was time for the wedding, and he went into the tent and closed the tent door, and in the morning he woke up, and it wasn't Rachel he was with, it was Leah. Laban had passed Leah off on him, old tender-eyed Leah, one preacher said, and I don't know where he got it, but that means she was cross-eyed. I don't know what it means. Said Rachel was beautiful, but Leah was tender-eyed, and now he's got Leah. And he's been cheated. Imagine that. What does the scripture tell us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Does not the scripture tell us that? And so here is a man who sows deceit to his poor old blind father. Should it be a surprise to him when deceit comes back tenfold? Should it be? I want you to know that in Laban, the deceiver met his match. He spent the next 20 years being deceived. We see that Laban had substituted Leah, and then Jacob agreed to serve 7 more years for Rachel, chapter 29 and verse 28. And then when he got Rachel, the scripture says that he loved Rachel more than Leah, so the Lord opened Leah's womb and closed Rachel's womb, chapter 29 and verse 31. So Leah bore to him Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah. And to try to keep up, Rachel substituted her handmaid Bilhah, and Bilhah bore him Dan and Naphtali. So Leah, to get even, substituted Zilpah, and Zilpah bore Gad and Asher. And then Leah, she got fruitful again, and she bore Issachar and Zebulun. Finally, we see that Jacob has 10 children, and still none by Rachel. Finally, Rachel bore Joseph after 10 other sons from 3 other different wives. I want you to know that there was constant jealousy between the wives. And if you read the story carefully, you'll see that there was jealousy between the sons as well. So there wasn't a day in Joseph's life, I do not believe there was not a day that there wasn't some kind of tension between Rachel and Leah or between some of those 10 sons. Every day, Jacob was putting out a fire somewhere because somebody in his family couldn't get along. I wonder where that came from. I wonder where this series of unfortunate events began. So he went to Laban. Laban said, please don't leave me. Work for me. God has blessed me on your behalf. I know that I'm better off with you than I would have been without you. Would you please continue to work for me? Name your wage. And so Jacob named a wage, and he worked 6 more years to earn his herds. But the scripture tells us that Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times in those 6 years. Chapter 31 and verse 7. Then he began to see, as God slowly but surely took the herds away from Laban and gave them to Jacob, he saw the envy that was beginning to build in the minds and in the hearts and in the eyes of Laban's son, and he saw Laban's countenance change. And he decided it's time to leave. We'd better get out of here while the getting's good. The day is coming that Laban will not let me leave. We need to go now. He talked to his wives, and they agreed, and they left. But there was a problem in leaving. You remember, if I leave here and go back to Bethel, if I go back to Palestine, if I go back to Canaan, I've got to face Esau, who swore he'd kill me. Where did all this trouble come from? Man, if I stay here, I'm going to get cheated. If I go home, I'm going to get killed. What kind of choice is that? Wonder where this all began, Jacob. Go back in your mind, reflect a bit, connect the dots. Where did this all begin? Go back to that campfire where you said, Dad, I'm Esau. Yes, sir, you can believe it. Take it to the bank. I'm Esau. And he deceived and lied to that poor old blind father. And he dishonored his father. And in so doing, those very words, he cut his life short. And he brought evil days upon himself. I want you to understand, you and I need to connect those dots too. We cannot dishonor our fathers without a price. There is a consequence to every choice. And one of the consequences of dishonoring a parent is a shortened life and evil days while they last. You know, I've known guys in my life that just said, Pastor, I just can't get a break. I can't catch a break. Everything I touch just seems to turn to junk. I can't figure it out. I don't understand. I try. I work hard. And I try. But everything just seems to go wrong. I wonder, my friend, if you went back and remembered how you treated your father, if you connected some dots, might you see the hand of the Lord at work in this thing? We go on. We see he dreads to meet Esau. On the way back, he has to meet an angel and he wrestles with the angel of the Lord at the brook Jabbok. And though the angel blessed him, do you remember what the angel did? He put his hip out of place and the rest of his life. See, there were no chiropractors in those days. And so the rest of his life, poor Jacob is walking with a limp. And everywhere he went, people knew he had had a problem. And he put up with a limp the rest of his days. Listen, things go not well with the guys that dishonor their fathers or their mothers. He settled in Shechem. He didn't go all the way back to Bethel as the Lord had told him to. He stopped shy of the goal. He stopped in Shechem. And there, the prince of Shechem, whose name, by the way, was Shechem, met his daughter Dinah. And he took her and he wooed her and he defiled her. And then you remember Simeon and Levi, two of his sons, by his wife Leah. They came and they deceived the city of the village, or the city of Shechem, the Shechemites. They said, you know what, if you guys would get circumcised, we could all trade wives. If you would become like us, and if you would go through the Abrahamic rite of circumcision, then we could exchange, we could give our daughters to your sons, and you could give your sons to our daughters. We could have marriages between us, and everyone would be happy. And they said, you know, that sounds like a good deal. We could trade with them. They would trade with us. It would prosper everyone. It would benefit everyone. So they all agreed to get circumcised. And on the third day, the scripture says, when they were very sore, Simeon and Levi went into the village and killed every man. His two boys came home and Jacob said, what have you done to me? You deceived those men. You lied to those men. Now this is Jacob. This is Jacob scolding his sons, chastising his sons for lying. Do you not see a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black here? Do you not see a little bit of hypocrisy here? I mean, where do you think the boys learned how to lie? Where do you think they learned how to supplant? Where do you think they learned how to cheat? Where do you think they learned how to deceive? They've been watching Daddy do it for several years. They've been watching Uncle Laban do it for a long, long time. They've become quite prolific at deception. And at cruelty. He said, you've been so cruel to the men of this village. He said, now you've made me to stink in the nostrils of these people and we're going to have to move on. And can you see Jacob shaking his head and saying, just one unfortunate circumstance after another. Why can't I find peace? Anywhere I go, there's no peace. My wives can't get along. My sons can't get along. They can't get along with the people in the community. The people in the community can't get along with them. Anywhere I go, there's not peace. I don't understand it. It will not go well with thee, and thou shalt not live long on the land. We see that finally he moved on a ways, and his wife Rachel, praise the Lord, she conceived to bear another son. but she died in childbirth. So now he's bereaved of his favorite wife, Rachel. She has a son, that would be Benjamin, but now she is no more. And so she has died. And then the scripture tells us that after Rachel died, then his son Reuben, who was his firstborn, committed immorality with Rachel's handmaid Bilhah, who was also Jacob's wife. It sounds like Peyton Place, doesn't it? And then the scripture tells us that his father Isaac died, and he had to bury him. And it was at that time then that his sons had had enough of Joseph, and they said, let's get rid of Joseph. So somebody came up with this scam. Let's pretend like Joseph has been killed by a beast, and we'll palm off this fraudulent death on Dad. He'll think that Joseph is dead. He'll mourn for a while, but he'll get over it, and we're going to get rid of Joseph. We'll sell him as a slave into Egypt. And so Jacob spends the next 22 years grieving over a death that was a fraud. And yet I doubt he connects the dots. It was during this time, after Joseph's fraudulent death and sale as a slave into Egypt, that his fourth son, his fourth born Judah, fell in love with a Canaanite woman and married her. And from her he bore two sons that were so wicked that God killed them both. One unfortunate event after another. Can you imagine how Jacob felt when his wife came home? Do you remember why Jacob left in the first place? It was because his brother Esau had married Edomite women. Or Hittite women. He had married two Hittite girls, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. So he said, no, sir, I've got to marry. And he was commanded by his dying father, you be sure you go to Uncle Laban's house and marry a woman from there so she's not an idolater like these Canaanite girls are. So there's a kind of a smell in Jacob's nose about marrying a Canaanite. Now his son Judah marries a Canaanite. And then he has these two sons that are so wicked that God kills them both. And then the scripture goes on to tell us that the woman that had been married to both of them, one of them was married to her and God killed him, so he gave her to the other son and God killed him, so now she's a widow. He promised her to his third son, but he broke the promise and lied, and that was a big scandal. So she went out and dressed as a harlot, and Judah committed adultery with her and is found to be She's found to be pregnant with Judah's child, his daughter-in-law. I can see Jacob pulling his hair. I can see him sitting by a campfire some evening and pulling his hair and saying, what is going on in my life? I can't catch a break here. I can't catch a break there. Everything's going wrong. One unfortunate event after another. Hey, Jacob, connect the dots. Connect the dots. Go back and look. You dishonored your father. Years ago, you dishonored him. You lied twice to his face. You dishonored him in at least seven different ways. What do you expect? A life of ease? A life of blessing? You expect everything to go right when the scripture says, honor your father and mother, the first commandment with promise that it will go well with thee and that you may live long. And you break that commandment, what does that mean? It's not going to go well with you and you won't live long. Then there was a famine in the land. What else can go wrong? He plants his crops, nothing comes up. He goes out to herd his sheep and there's nothing for him to eat. The grass gets scarcer and scarcer, and they pray for rain, and there's no rain. There's no rain, there's no grass. What are we going to do? We're going to starve. Finally, it gets so desperate, he tells his sons, you're going to have to go to Egypt and buy corn. I hear that some wise man down in Egypt has collected a bunch of grain for the famine, and there's grain to be bought in Egypt. Go down there. And after this series of unfortunate events, finally, Jacob is reunited with his favorite son, Joseph. And he dies there 17 years later. Who can rightly deny that Jacob's days were few as compared to Abraham's and Isaac's? Who can deny it? I mean, do the arithmetic. His days were fewer. And who can deny that his days were eviler? I mean, Finn, I don't mean that he spent his life doing evil. I meant just bad stuff happened to him. Who can deny that? But I want you to connect the dots. He deceived and he dishonored his poor old blind dad. In so doing, he brought the curse upon himself that he feared. And he suffered through a series of unfortunate circumstances in his life. And though, and I'm going to show you this tonight, though God appeared to him 7 or 8 different times, and though God changed his name, and though God eventually blessed him with prosperity, I want you to understand he still lived a troubled life and died an early death. And I want to say to the young people today, there's no need for you to do that. There's no need for you to die an untimely death. There's no need for you to live a troubled life. Listen, I can't promise you this morning that if you honor your father and your mother, that you're never going to have a problem. Because I have come to learn that it's problems that God uses to build our faith. Trials and tribulations and sometimes even suffering strengthen us. But I want you to know that through the suffering, you can have peace of God. You can have God's blessing and you can have a sense of God's presence. There's no need to live like Jacob lived. There's no need for your life to turn into a series of unfortunate events. But you got to honor your father and your mother. And in so doing, you actually honor the Lord because it's through your father and mother that the other 9 commandments are given to you. You ever wonder why is it that was the first commandment with promise? Why did that one have a promise and none of the others had a promise? It was because dad and mom are the vehicle God uses to teach every boy and girl about the Lord and about all of the other 9 commandments. And that's why God says, listen, if you honor your father and mother, that means you're going to honor the first commandment. If you honor your father and mother, you're going to honor the second commandment and the third and the fourth. And if you honor your father and mother, then you're going to honor the sixth commandment and the seventh and the eighth and the ninth and the tenth too, because dad and mom are the ones that are going to teach you those other commandments. And so if you're honoring your father and mother, you're going to in fact be honoring God, and then I'll bless you. I'll pour out such blessing on you as you cannot believe. But I want you to understand, that doesn't mean that you'll be free of trouble. Thank God for trouble, because it's through trials and troubles and tribulations that God makes Himself known to us. But you know, it's different to have a trial and a trouble and a tribulation now and then to grow on, and to have your life become an unbroken series of troubles because you dishonored father and mother. And how can you honor your dad and mom? First of all, there's no better way to honor your father and mother than to make sure that you have accepted the God that they love and teach and preach. Accept Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. If any man would come to the Father, he must come through the Son, through Jesus Christ the Lord. The very first way you will honor your father and mother is to make sure that you're a born-again soul. If you've never been saved, you need to be saved. Honor your father and your mother. And the second way is to obey the other 9 commandments. Listen, that we don't get saved by obeying those commandments, but they are definitely principles to live by, and our whole society rises or falls on our appreciation, respect, and obedience of those commandments. Those commandments form for us the sanctity of worship, the sanctity of the home, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of property, the sanctity of truth, the sanctity of conscience. All of those things come from those 10 commandments in a positive way. They are not just prohibitions. They are principles of life. You want to honor your father and mother, become a man or woman of Christian character. Be born again. Live like a Christian. You know what? I read my dad's obituary yesterday. He died in 1983 this November. Will be, I'm guessing, 28 years he's been gone. He died just days after his 58th birthday on December the 30th. 1983. I'll be 58 in December. I've been doing some thinking about that. This December, I'll be the same age my dad was when he died. And that's kind of a sobering thought when you think of it. But you know, I thought of this, Brother Fox. Every message I preach, I'm honoring my father. Every day I get up and go to work, I'm honoring my dad. Every door I knock on, every visit that I make, I'm honoring my dad. Every tract that I pass out, every time I give a gospel witness, I'm honoring my father and my mother. You can honor the Lord by serving the God that they love. And you can honor your parents by serving the God that they love. And in so doing, you can become the beneficiary of a happy life. Not a trouble-free life, but a happy life filled with the peace of God. And a long life upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please?